The Nembutsu Namo Amida Butsu that flows from this defiled mouth is the voice calling me from countless eons past. Namo Amida Butsu Namanda. When we think of the temple, what most comes to mind to you? For many of you, or most of you, it's a place to come to listen to the Dharma. For others who do not attend often, perhaps they view the temple as a place where they come to for a funeral, for their grandparents, for their parents, or for memorial services, for a family member or a friend, or maybe great food made by our members, particularly the BWA. In town, when people ask me where I work, I tell them I work at Hilo Betsuin or the Honganji. Strangely, in Hilo, people cannot place our location until I tell them we are located next to Starbucks. And then they say, oh yeah, I know where that is. And we've been here 125 years. But when you think of the temple, what comes to your mind? Even if it has nothing to do with Buddhism, this is fine, I think, at least for now. However, by coming to the temple, it's like planting seeds that will sprout, you know, when you experience the inevitable hardships and difficulties in life. However, depending on what comes to mind, perhaps, is cause for reflection on the true treasure contained within the temple, that is, the Buddha's teachings, especially the new Nembutsu teachings that meets us where we are, regardless of who or what we are, or what we have done or haven't done in our lives. In a life filled with anxiety, frantically going from here to there, it is nice to know that there is a place where you can always throw your mental anchor, some place where you can be grounded. Knowing that you are grounded, that place is the Dharma, the teachings of the Buddha, pointing to its heart, that is Namo Amida Butsu. When I first came to a Nishihonganji temple on the mainland, a sect of Buddhism to which we belong, I could not comprehend what everyone was saying. It took me some time to be able to pronounce and remember Namo Amida Butsu. I would try to remember and came up with many variations of what I thought I heard, including Muda Butsu, Ami Butsu, Nabu, and so on. After having finally been able to recite the Nembutsu, I tried to find another meaning for Namo Amida Butsu and how it fit in a religious sense and what it could do for me. Even while studying, I had such an attitude. I recall the final exam period while studying in my undergraduate program. I would become so stressed. I was working full-time at the time in addition to taking a full load of classes, and I wondered if I would ever get through. And I recited Namo Amida Butsu thinking that this would help me get through. However, reciting the Nembutsu did not relieve my stress, nor did it have any effect on my performance in school. It did not lessen any of life's burdens. Particularly today, I think in our Western society, one tends to think of things in a utilitarian sense, wondering, how is it going to benefit me? And anything that has no perceived benefit to our secular life, meaning to improve our surface conditions, we discard or fail to find it worthy of our consideration. And though we are not sure what it is about or fully understand its meaning, we think, why carry another piece of seemingly unnecessary baggage? On the surface, this sounds fine, although sometimes we might be throwing out a great treasure simply because we are blind to its profound meaning, capable of transforming our life. The Nembutsu is a part of this. The explanations used as expedient means to understand Namo Amida Butsu are varied. First, there is Namu. The first explanation, for example, there is Namu meaning I, this limited human being filled with human failings, and Butsu referring to Buddha or that which is true in real life. So saying Namo Amida Butsu is thought of in this sense of being the realization of the oneness of myself and the Buddha. Another explanation used as an expedient means to understanding Namo Amida Butsu is a realization that comes about from the recognition of the Nembutsu as a six-character name of the Buddha, or a reality expressing itself in our everyday world and given to us so that we may be able to connect with true reality, that is, to be able to connect with true and real life. And I think yet there is another explanation that's often used when talking about trying to explain Namo Amida Butsu, and that Namu is the command or calling voice or command of the Buddha, of Amida Buddha, and Amida Butsu is our response to that. But all these explanations have legitimate and profound implications, but none of these definitions will come close to sufficing. The truth of the matter is that the Nembutsu, Namo Amida Butsu, is not a concept or something to be solved, nor is it a magical or superstitious incantation. It will not change the effect of the actions we have taken, for better or worse, in our lives. And after all, the law of karma, cause and effect, works. And this is the fundamental law that the Shakyamuni Buddha taught over 2,500 years ago. And it's not the upholding of religious dogma or following the authority of a religious institution or revering a guru. Even Shinran Shonin, the founder of our tradition, did not claim to have a single disciple, even though he is known to have had thousands of followers. So Namo Amida Butsu is not mindless recitation, not reciting with the expectation of a miracle or improving our financial status or our love life, or not trying to figure out why or what, nor can it be contained within, you know, any kind of a defined concept. If you want to know what Namo Amida Butsu is, if you really want to know what Namo Amida Butsu is, then simply you only have to do one thing, and that is to simply say the Nembutsu yourself, not concerned with how many times you say it, or when you say it, or where you say it, and not reciting the Nembutsu Namo Amida Butsu with the expectation of some kind of divine intervention or some kind of a miracle, nor trying to formulate a concept behind it. In doing so, I think that Namo Amida Butsu becomes, rather than a means to an end, is dynamic reality revealing itself as true in real life. So when you think of the temple, I hope that you will find that in this world where we experience so many changes, things are just changing so quickly with this rapid technology and the way we do things and the way we relate to people, from going from one-on-one to face-to-face, personally face-to-face, to going to a virtual face-to-face. And, you know, without this kind of anchor, many people feel lost. But I hope that you will feel that you have returned to your spiritual home in Namo Amida Butsu. And whether you're at Honpo Honganji Hilo Besuin, our physical temple, or at your local temple, or wherever you are in the world, that when you recite the Nembutsu, Namo Amida Butsu, you will always feel we have returned to your true home within the Nembutsu Namo Amida Butsu. And so, finally, it reminds me of a story that an experience that I had when I first started ministry. And I was standing at the podium and watching everybody, you know, coming to Oshoko. And then this one boy came up, later, and he was busy, you know, saying, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu. And he looked so serious and so intent. And he had been, you know, repeating the Nembutsu so many times. And I asked him, what are you doing? And he said that he didn't study for the test the night before and all last week, and that the final was coming up on Monday. This was Sunday. And he was reciting the Nembutsu in order to save himself on the test. And so I said, if the Shakyamuni Buddha were here now, or the Buddha is probably saying, you know, you fool, instead of wasting time coming here and reciting, you know, Namo Amida Butsu in the hopes of improving your grade, you should be home studying and studying your hardest and trying to make that grade through your own effort. So with that, I'd like to conclude. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.